You're listening to IdgetCast, Season 2, Episode 22, All Hell Breaks Loose, Part 2. Dean resurrects Sam from the dead, and together, they lead the charge to stop the yellow-eyed demon from opening a devil's gate and releasing hell on Earth.
Welcome back to IdgetCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I am in Elk River, Minnesota tonight, about 3 or 4 inches away from my lovely wife, Darcy.
Well, hello.
And we also have joining us tonight, down in New Orleans, Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
And you heard at the top, our expert, John.
Anybody want to buy a car?
It helps if you're in or near Texas.
Yes.
I don't care. If you want to buy a car, call me.
And we do have a guest that will hopefully be joining us, or if it doesn't happen, I'll just edit that part out. All right. Should we get started right away? Anybody have anything exciting that has happened?
I have the song Black Betty going through my head.
Swell.
It's like...
And now I do too.
I know. I
just thank you for that gift.
I'm so sorry. I can't get it out. I had to share.
I just finished reading Down the Rabbit Hole by former playmate Holly Madison.
Ooh.
And it is so trashy and good. I recommend it to everyone. It took me like 4 hours to read the whole book. I love it.
Ooh.
So how have you gotten into or through The Devil in the White City then?
I haven't started. I did buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
I have it sitting on my Kindle. It is ready for me to go, but I, prioritized sleazy trash.
It is kind of scary, and you do have to pay a little bit of attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, no, that's good. I need a new book to read.
But it is pop history in terms of history.
It's scary.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we might hear Iris singing into the fan at some point, too, because that's been happening.
Cool. I am a robot. All right. Well, we are here to discuss the episode All Hell Breaks Loose, Part 2. And tonight, the summary will be coming courtesy of me.
Yay, Paul!
Yay, I did it. So, first up is the previously on, which is a curious amount of attention paid to the cult, which was all but forgotten since the beginning of the season, and also a notable amount of the crossroads, just in case. You needed catching up on that. But Sam is laid out on a dirty mattress.
Dirty mattress.
Is he even on a mattress or is he just on a table?
That's a mattress.
He's on a mattress.
Okay.
It's got no sheets.
It's not like it's on a box spring or a bed or anything. It's just a mattress.
I don't think I could actually sleep on a mattress without a sheet. I think that would drive me crazy.
Like a abandoned ghost town mattress?
Well, any mattress without a sheet.
I can
even
sleep
if it was
just
like
about
mine,
anywhere.
I couldn't do it.
I used to sleep on the floor when I was a kid all the time.
Yeah, I did floor a lot.
Yeah.
I can't sleep on the floor. I can sleep on the couch. And I don't need a sheet to sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
I sleep
up in the apartment in Superior when I'm up there during the work week part of my week. There's a bed and there's a couch because it's a furnished room. I oftentimes sleep what I'll call Mulder style.
On the couch.
On the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Just fall asleep on the couch.
I have a futon, so I tend to do that a lot. Like sometimes I'm just like, I don't feel like sleeping on the bed. I'll just turn it into a couch and just sleep that way.
Yeah.
What I hate doing is when I'm sitting in this chair, like maybe I'm listening to a podcast or something, and I start to get sleepy, and I actually fall asleep while I'm sitting in the chair.
Oh.
Like I'll catch myself because it's very uncomfortable, but it's like...
Yeah.
You know, because I don't, like, it's like I'll get a crick in my neck or something, but it's like, oh, God. Usually that's when I was like, okay, that's a sign you need to go to bed.
Well, Sam's laid out on this mattress and he doesn't really care if it's uncomfortable or not because he's dead.
Uh huh.
I suppose.
And Hal.
I suppose.
Dean is standing watch over him. And Bobby comes back, tries to get.
Wait, Dean. Who is this person?
This is Bobby.
I'm just kidding. I know Bobby,
it's gonna be a thing.
It is. It makes me laugh right. every time.
Running gag.
Who the hell is Pat?
Oh. Goodness.
Bobby tries to get Dean to eat some chicken. And also maybe to, well, bury Sam. Or burn him. He's not up for those.
Smelling up the joint already, so.
I know. How long do you think it's been, you guys?
Oh, it's probably been a matter of 6 to 8 hours. I bet he hasn't gone. I bet nobody has thought about sleeping yet.
And I don't know how long until, you know, I don't know anything about, like, how long until they start smelling, how long until rigor's over, or any
well,
of that.
Well, I think smelling, like, I think that, like, takes a couple days.
Really?
Yeah, like at least a day.
Okay.
You know, possibly more. But rigor mortis, as I understand it, it's something like, I want to say it's like, I don't know, it's like 16 hours or something.
Yeah.
And then it like, but it doesn't last forever. Like
yeah.
It only lasts for a certain period of time and then it, you know, and then it stops.
Right.
If you really wanted to know, I bet you know people who you could ask.
Well, I would, but no.
No, it's not happening.
Not happening, no.
The family biz.
Don't want to get caught in a conversation over the dinner table with my uncle, usually.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's a problem, hey?
He does it on purpose.
So let me take this roast turkey and show you how to embalm a person.
No, he just likes to tell tales. And he's the coroner for the county. He's been to accident sites
and things like that.
He
wasn't in the car anymore, but parts of him were in the tree, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, you remember that?
Right. Yeah, I do.
We were walking by the tree, weren't we? And he's like, "Oh, look at that tree! I was picking some body parts out of that the other day." I'm like, "Oh God, don't tell me that." Let's go for a peaceful walk.
All right, your boy is dead.
He's dead.
Bobby's there. Somebody's not eating chicken.
Dean shouldn't...
Smelling bad.
Dean should not be alone, and also Bobby could use Dean's help with this whole end-of-the-world thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dean is understandably a bit burned out on saving the world, and he makes Bobby leave him alone.
Leave me alone!
And then the logo goes...
Yeah, he was having a big baby.
For the last time.
Oh.
Really?
Spoilers.
End of the season, so.
Hmm.
Yep.
We had a new title card for season two, so.
Not too surprising that we might go.
Stands to reason.
I don't remember that we had a new title card.
Neither do I.
Okay, good.
Oh, because remember season one was all blue and glassy.
Blue and glassy and like spooky wind and stuff. And then when this one burst onto the screen, it was like, whoa, hey, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
We commented to each other at the time.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Remember, I don't have a very good memory.
Okay, I won't take that against you. Hold that against you.
I know.
At least you know who Bobby is.
Well, sometimes. If you caught me out of context, I might be in big trouble. I also have the notes that I get to actually see as Paul goes through it. So I read ahead and I try to, you know, get caught up.
Like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm. And then you're like, I did remember that before, too, right?
I remember that from 2 seconds ago when I just read it.
All right, then. Jake is camped somewhere outside of town, somewhere presumably still in South Dakota, but who knows. He nods off and finds himself face-to-face with the yellow-eyed demon. They butt heads for a while, but Yellow Eyes nudges Jake in line by threatening his mother and little sister colorfully and quotably.
So, y'all, at this point, I realize that Jake still has a mother that's alive.
Yeah.
I thought that all of the, like, demon hybrid kids had the mama on the ceiling event happen.
That's what I thought, too.
Because remember when they were asking Ash to, like, look up the stuff they were, look for house fires or whatever 22 years ago or
well, but Ava didn't fit that either.
Yeah. If you remember, the whole thing with Sam's mom was like a fluke occurrence. Like, she wasn't supposed to show up when, you know, Yellow Eyes was doing his thing.
Yeah, but
I thought they were all... Then why were they looking for house fires?
Because that's what they thought at first.
And Max connected that way. Max was a factor that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then when they figured out Ava was part of the whole thing, they were like, wait a second, you don't fit the pattern at all, as far as we know.
Hmm. All right. I missed that entirely.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Yeah, I thought it was all Mama on the ceiling on fire, but I guess not. Well, that's too bad. All right.
Lexus is complaining about it.
Is she?
Yes.
She wishes to register a complaint?
She wishes to register a lot of complaints. Shh. Go get pet by the kids. Go.
That works.
Didn't work. She's still looking at me.
Dean continues, meanwhile, his vigil, monologuing to Dead Sam about their youth when Sam would ask the questions Dean didn't want to answer, when Dean knew his one job was to keep Sam safe, and not surprisingly, Dean feels that he has now failed in that job.
Kitty.
Fox is hauling her off over his shoulder.
I don't know where he plans to go.
I think he's going in our room and he's going to love her. He's going to lock her in the bathroom, one or the other.
Put her in the box, whatever.
Penalty box for yelling.
Kitty in the box. It's my cat in the box.
Wow.
That's an interesting twist. Oh, you locked her in the penalty box for real? In the bathroom. Yeah, that's it.
Did you close the door to my room? Okay.
All right.
Cut all that out. All right, go.
I don't know. Don't have to. All right. Dean does some angry driving out to the crossroads. And then he does a little summoning.
Angry driving.
So he manages to summon that, like, mama demon.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really disappointing that it wasn't one of the demons, like, one of the crossroad demons we've already met. Like, why do we get this new,
because it's a, like, different old crossroad. Lady demon?
Different crossroads? So there's, like, only one demon per crossroad?
Maybe.
Wait, is that real, though? Because when they were at, like, when they had the, like, crossroads episode or whatever, I thought it was the same crossroads that he summoned that one lady from, that the lady that had been haunting the bar or whatever got summoned from.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, because wasn't that, like, I don't remember where that was. That was, like,
Bama.
It seemed like it was, like, in, like, Mississippi or something.
Yeah, it was, like, somewhere in the deep south.
Yeah.
So.
So
I just assumed, but I wish it had just been one of the ones we already knew. Right. Just because I was like, I don't need.
Maybe they couldn't get that actor, so.
That's probably a factor.
Yeah. That was disappointing to me, but.
She didn't have nice hair.
Yeah, she's got mom hair.
She had mom hair, hardcore.
You don't have mom hair. You're a mom, but you don't have mom hair.
I have hair.
That helps.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. This crossroads demon isn't satisfied with a 10-year deal. And it sounds a little bit like she's not going to be satisfied with any deal. Dean haggles down to 5, and it looks like the deal's going to be completely off, but Dean is desperate. So she offers him 1 year. And with the clause that any attempt to change the deal, it will be instant death for Sam.
Instant death. It's like hockey.
So the 1 year deal is that your boy gets to live indefinitely or whatever until he would normally die, and then Dean is going to die at the end of 1 year. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it suck if, like, Sam got killed anyway? Like,
yeah.
What happens if Sam just gets hit by a car year, like a month, like, from now?
Oh well.
The deal is not, you know, it's kind of like if you total your car, it's, you know, you still got to pay off the debt.
So Dean and the demon seal the deal with a kiss, and Sam awakes alone and disoriented. And my question was, so the 1 year time frame makes it a somewhat obvious setup to maybe be a season 3 finale, but. Do you think that they try to address it before it comes down to the year? What's the odds?
I know the answer. But
I know you do. I'm asking.
I think it'll come up because I think that our. I mean, this is going to come up more later, but I think our themes for next season are going to be. Hopefully, we see this crossroads demon again. Like it's not just like some, like, oh man, I'm going to drop dead in a year, and we never actually see Mama Demon again. Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all those demons that flew out of hell when they opened up the gates later. We'll have to deal with all those.
Yes, and I have some questions about season 3 that maybe we'll wait till after this end of this episode or something like that.
Demons. Demons everywhere is the answer to all your questions, Paul.
Oh!
Demons.
Hey! Hi, Aaron!
Well, hello!
Our guest.
Hey, guys. Sorry I'm late.
Hey, no problem. All right. Welcome.
We just finished the crossroads deal.
Yay, crossroads deal.
With the demon with bad mom hair.
Yeah.
And we were just I asked my fellow newbies whether we thought that, you know, it's an obvious setup to possibly be a season three finale, or whether they might just subvert that expectation and handle it sooner. And
I think they should string it out.
You think they should string it out for the whole year?
I would string it out for a year if I was a writer.
Yeah.
You know, you could even string it out for two seasons, because who's to say how long is a year?
Oh, yeah, I know. All right.
Oh, no, it's totally going to be the finale of next season. We're going to have Mama Hair Demon back, ready to claim on that bargain.
It's in her contract.
Yeah, I hope.
Well, maybe I will bring up the one question that I have now anyway.
Go for it.
Because I know, and it's brought up several times in our feedback that, or in general, that this is a strike-shortened season. This was the writer's strike year.
Right.
So we only have 16 episodes next season.
So I'm curious as to whether they got to do a finale. I mean, some shows during that season just stopped and then started up again the next year and then didn't produce any more shows once the strike started. And some of them did a truncated season but put in a couple more episodes to wrap up the season in a slight bow and that sort of thing.
Right. So, well, again, I do know the answer, but I can't tell you.
I wasn't sure if you could tell me or not, but...
Right. I mean, I could, but I don't want to.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess that'll be something for us to keep in mind next season. If, like, the writing seems especially, like, all over the place or just awful or whatever, there'll be a built-in excuse.
They'll probably start out fine.
Or it could be the opposite of that.
I will say, and I don't think this is spoilery enough, that even though the writer's strike did happen, it really wasn't too all over the place for a season.
Yeah, my personal opinion is that it actually benefited.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll go that far and no further at this point.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sam examines his wound site in the mirror as Dean returns. Sam wants to know what happened, and Dean tells it like it was, except, of course, saying that Bobby patched up the wound that Sam said couldn't be patched.
Because Bobby's good like that.
He's magic.
It's all in the hat.
It is. Got that magic trucker hat.
Oh, wait. Is this the point where we're back at Bobby's house?
Not yet. This is just when Sam was initially saying, you know, he was checking out the wound, and he was like, I don't think a wound like that can be patched up. And then Dean said, well, Bobby could do it, and he did it. So there you are. But I think Sam's already starting to have suspicions even now.
I feel like at this point I would totally be like, oh, damn, there was a crossroads demon deal made.
Didn't I tell you, Sammy, we don't do that?
I think Sam's already got sneaking suspicion of it.
Yeah.
Even now. Sam wants to go after Jake right away, but Dean gets him to eat and tell his story about how the demon wanted only one of them to come out alive, a detail that Dean tries to gloss over.
Mm-hmm.
And, my question that I was going to take a moment to question here was, is Sam smart enough to already be piecing some of this together?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, this wound couldn't possibly be patched up, and the demon only really wanted one of us to come out alive, and Jake came out already, so.
Yeah, it's like if Bobby hadn't shown up right then and there, like, it would have been a really awkward conversation for, because, like, Dean would have been just struggling, you know, it's like. Oh, but Dean, I really think, you know, it's kind of odd that, man, isn't this chicken really good, Sam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but chicken. I really... Chicken!
Yes.
Eat the chicken! Yes.
Sam wants to get right to work, but Dean wants to stall, likely as much to get Sam rested as to avoid Bobby. But Sam insists, and at the door, Bobby's pretty much at a loss for words, and Dean's avoiding eye contact with the most severe of head twists.
And Bobby's house looks exactly like the set that they just used for wherever they were before. Like, it's the exact same place.
Set recycling? That would never happen.
Oh, you're crazy.
But it's like they barely even dressed the set.
I know.
It's
like this. Move the bed over there. Okay, we're good.
Add a little bit more
lighting.
It's
magically Bobby's house.
Bobby has noted an avalanche of demonic omens with a notable blank spot in southern Wyoming. The demons seem to be surrounding it. And Bobby claims that he needs to get some fresh eyes on it, so he gets Sam to have a look, and tells Dean that he's got to help him get some more books from the truck.
Okay, Paul, is there a really cool cemetery in Wyoming that we're unaware of? Because I never saw one of those there.
It looked like it was sort of... I made the joke it looked like it was at the Little America, because it's right over by the original Little America. But
it looks just like that, yes. And then there's also a cemetery for some settlers from, the Oregon Trail that went through there. Hmm. But it's not quite there. It's up a little bit.
All right. So. Well, it's just, Wyoming.
It's big. It's empty.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
So is Idaho.
Yeah.
I've driven through Idaho.
Yeah, I've driven through Wyoming a lot more than Idaho.
I've driven through Wyoming more than you have.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Is that something to be proud of?
Well, I don't know. Because I grew up in Colorado. My grandparents were from Montana, so we drive back and forth all the time.
Colorado.
Oh, jeez. John, he must have known ahead of time.
Hey, we spent what, 2 days, 3 days at a La Quinta while your Volvo was being repaired in the middle of Wyoming?
Yeah. They charged us a lot of money for that, too.
I don't remember.
It was...
So this is a mini tangent, but after I finished grad school, I was looking for a job, and I applied to like 200 places, and I couldn't find anything. And the one job I got offered was, I just applied like blanketly to the National Park Service, because they do a lot of like architectural preservation work.
Right.
And so the one job I was offered was working as a museum curator in a national park in South Dakota. And I was like, I literally had no idea where South Dakota, of course I had kind of an idea where South Dakota was, but I was like, is that like Wyoming? Is that Montana?
Yeah, like where am I going to, how far am I going to have to move?
And South Dakota is big. So which part of it?
I was just like, what? And I was like, no.
Like at Badlands?
I don't know.
Here?
No, Badlands is a national park. I don't know what else is national park up that way.
It was
South Dakota?
South Dakota.
It's got the Painted Canyon, doesn't it?
No, that's north.
That's North Dakota. Well, they've got... there's Mount Rushmore and then Black Hills.
The National Park is the Badlands, and then there's Theodore Roosevelt in North Dakota.
I thought the Badlands was in North Dakota.
No, Badlands is South Dakota.
Oh, boy. Oh, I've been all through there a million times, so I don't know. I get mixed up.
Well, they all look the same anyway. The museum itself would have been a 5-hour drive from the nearest town, and the town had only 5,000 people. So I was like, this is obviously not a job that I could ever take, but thanks y'all for the offer. But that's my entire experience with that part of the country.
Oh, wow.
There, somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds desolate.
Outside,
scary.
So outside, Bobby basically calls Dean a stupid ass and asks what the hell he did.
He has a come to Jesus moment, kind of, with Dean again.
Bobby correctly assumes a deal was made and wants to know how long. Dean tells him, and Bobby can't understand.
But you know what? Dean has a point in that, like, he shouldn't be alive right now. Like, his dad made the deal for him, so why not?
Right.
Yeah, I suppose. You know?
He's on borrowed time anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Soul for a soul.
Dean says that Bobby can't tell Sam, but they're interrupted by a noise out in the junkyard, or the cars and such back there. And it turns out to be...
Dinny, dinny.
What?
Dinny, dinny.
You big dummy.
It's not Sanford or Son.
I'm having a heart attack.
As a matter of fact, it's Ellen. It's Ellen.
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
I love the reveal that Ellen was not burnt up in the roadhouse because she was out getting supplies.
Pretzels.
So in my mind, she's at like Sam's Club or Costco or something, like stocking up on napkins, and she comes back and she's like, oh,
she's like,
no.
Like stuck in the checkout line, you know.
comes back, sees the bar on fire. Son of a...
She drops the napkins on the ground.
No.
Pretzels are still melting in the trunk.
Yeah.
Ellen takes a shot of holy water at Bobby's insistence, and it turns out that after that, and she has a little bit of whiskey chaser, and it turns out she was on a supply run for pretzels when Ash called in a panic and told her to look in the safe. And she takes she takes out the map she found in that safe after it cooled down a bit, I suppose.
It would have turned to ash.
Too soon.
Sorry,
no, never
sorry.
Too soon. I hate it.
Bobby says the X's on the map mark abandoned frontier churches, all built by Samuel Colt.
Wait, y'all, do they say what happened to Meg Jo?
No, but she's I assume she's still RUNNOFT, so
Yes. Care for some gopher?
This was all for you.
She got loved up by a horny toad. My hair.
It's such a good movie.
There you go.
I watched it with Fox. He enjoyed it.
Oh, very good. Yeah. The X's on the map all mark abandoned frontier churches, all built by Samuel Colt and all connected by private rail lines in a star formation. Sam says a devil's trap. The demons can't get in. And all Dean found inside on the map is an old cowboy cemetery somewhere right in the middle. They all ponder, is the trap to keep demons out or to keep something in?
So the implication of this, though, is that when they were building the railroad lines in, like, the 1800s, they made a devil's trap. Like, the U.S. government laid out a devil's trap.
No, they said it's a private lines.
Oh, it's private ones. Okay.
Yeah, Sam right. Colt's just like, I want to lay track between these churches. Okay.
Is that what they're calling that now?
That's exactly what it was. Sam Colt's like, I want these rail lines. You paying for it? Yeah? Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Laying them in and tying them down.
I'm going to ignore you.
What? It's a good song, Canadian Railroad Trilogy. Gordon Lightfoot. I know it's American, but, you know. Anyways.
There's mosquitoes in here, and they are eating me alive, just so you know.
Rock on.
Oh, no.
I know. I have, like, 4 bites, and I swell up. Ugh, gross.
Is that door... hey, Fox, check the door and make sure it's shut all the way.
Mom's getting eaten by mosquitoes.
Bobby says that no full-blood demon could possibly cross, and Sam says he thinks he knows who could. And at a railroad crossing, funnily enough, Jake pulls a car to a stop. Yellow Eyes is there, in person, not just in his dreams while he's asleep, needing him to open a crypt, and the Colt is the key, revealing that it is also happens to be the only gun in the world that can kill him, and I suppose it must actually require to have a bullet in it in order to open the crypt or something, because otherwise, why bother keeping the bullet in there? You can keep the bullet out of it and still use it, right?
Maybe there's more bullets now.
No. No.
Could be.
No.
This is a very complicated locking system.
Yes.
It was very complicated.
Yeah. It's all mystical. I'm sure that you gotta imagine the bullet had to be there in order to do the lock, because otherwise, why bother having a bullet in the gun? So he mentions, hey, this happens to be the only gun in the world that can kill me, and Jake prepares to do just that. Yellow Eyes says that he and his family will be protected and be royalty in the new world that they will build. And that apparently is tempting enough for Jake, as opposed to being AWOL or getting a job back at the old factory. Place smells.
I just don't feel like I would trust Yellow Eyes.
Nope.
It's just me.
Maybe he's seen things and he can't unsee him and he just wants to move on.
So, Jake drives on in there and approaches the crypt. But as he's approaching the crypt, Sam interrupts, along with Dean, Bobby, and Ellen, all training guns on Jake. Jake says that he knows Sam was dead with a severed spinal cord and all. They threaten Jake, but he pushes Ellen to put the gun to her head. Magic pushing.
Pushy, pushy.
He says that he's been training up on his skills, like Ava said that she had. Ellen tells them to shoot him, but Jake says that he'll still kill her before they can finish. Bobby is the first to back down, and then the boys follow suit. Jake turns and gets the Colt into the keyhole, and while his back is turned, they get Ellen's gun away from her and fill Jake full of lead. Sam takes an extra moment aside to pull out a few extra shots in himself. In Jake, on his own.
Just for funsies.
Yeah.
That's for the spinal cord, buddy.
Hmm.
So, at this point, is this when Yellow Eyes is, like, there?
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
Although I think it's pretty close. Yeah, because the gate has to open all the way, and then the demons coming out of hell apparently can rip open those tracks better than the demons trying to get in toward there.
Okay, so the demons escape, boop, 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 and they, like, you know, whatever. And so at that point, that's when Yellow Eyes can come into the devil's trap.
That's right. Yeah, basically what happens is the lock clicks free, Sam pulls the Colt out, and Bobby tells them all to find cover. And then... Well, as the title says, all hell breaks loose. And as all of those demon smoke things come streaking out of hell, they break the railroad tracks clean open.
So,
and Yellow Eyes walks right on through.
Why couldn't he have been like, okay, come here, I've got a job for you and a you and you, you, you homeless people. Come with me. I want you to pull these tracks out for me. Okay, thanks. See ya.
Yeah, the end game on this is really confusing. Because you could totally just hire people to pull the tracks up.
Yeah.
Or
push them to do it with your brain.
Yeah. And it's like, well, what is the end game of opening the gates to hell anyway? Like, he wants to infest the world with demons, or he wants to get into hell?
See, I was still unclear on that. I think his army.
Yeah, he wants to infest the world with demons because he doesn't want to go back to hell. Like, you know, Jake already, like, suggested that. He was just like, no.
That's okay, not, I don't so want he to do wants that. Demons all over the world for his
yes.
army.
Yes,
yes. Okay. Got it.
So the demons came streaking through, ripped up the tracks, and Yellow Eyes strolled on in. And everyone but Dean tries to close the gate. And Dean's checking the gun and turns it on Yellow Eyes, who's there. And that doesn't last very long. Yellow Eyes telekinetically pulls it away and throws Dean against a headstone. Then Sam comes away from the gate and tries to go to Dean's aid, but Yellow Eyes pins him against a tree.
Yeah.
Yellow Eyes thanks Dean for getting Sam back into the mix and points out how Sam took out Jake the way that he cold-bloodedly took out Jake and asks pointedly, is he sure that what he got back is all Sam?
Well, okay, so at this point, Dean doesn't know that Sam has demon blood in him.
Does he?
Well, yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
So then what he got back was all him. I mean, he's part demon. So, of course, he's kind of evil.
But not, I mean, how many drops
I think.
I mean, they've been having that conversation for like the last handful of episodes anyway.
Yeah, I think Yellow Eyes is trying to imply that more of him is not Sam anymore.
Right, exactly.
Well, I hope that that's something that gets explored further because him turning kind of evil would be cool.
It sounded like Yellow Eyes was implying there was more to come.
Yeah.
Sam jealous.
Dr. Yeah. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of dealio.
I would have happily watched an all Angelus show. So
see, that's why we needed to have him have sex with Madison, because now he's lost his soul and he's become Sam Jealous.
There you go.
Okay. Oh dear.
Doggy style. Ow.
Yeah, if I were there I would have hit him too.
Here, that's for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yellow Eyes tries to kill Dean with the Colt, but a familiar figure, John Winchester-shaped figure, grabs Yellow Eyes and pulls his smoke form out of that janitor long enough for Dean to get the gun. Smoke goes back into that janitor, and Dean fires that last shell from the Colt, killing Yellow Eyes. For goods.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what they say happens when they get shot with that Colt.
But then who's going to lead the army?
We'll get to that later.
Oh.
Sam?
I hope it's Sam.
The last man standing?
I don't like that answer.
Uh-huh.
I hope it's Sam. I'm tired of the goody two-shoes thing.
After that, Bobby and Ellen get the gate closed, and John wordlessly weeps and nods to the boys and vanishes in brilliant light.
That was so dumb. Like,
yeah, agree.
I do not see the point of having him back. It looked so fake and stupid.
Yeah. So is he a demon?
What? No, he was in hell.
So then it wasn't all demons that got out then.
Maybe.
It's just souls.
Souls.
So it could be souls and demons, and so the souls are going to do what now?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, because you saw people that were like light figures, and you saw dark smoke floating.
I'll be honest,
so
I wasn't paying attention at all. I was trying to figure out how the hell that cemetery was in the middle of Wyoming.
Okay.
Well, okay, I mean, I guess that's actually a good point, right? Like, if there's souls, not just demons, then... Because, I mean, I guess just because you went to hell doesn't mean it couldn't be like prison, right? You could have gotten reformed while you were there.
I don't know.
And there's, I mean, also everybody that.
I mean, you don't really get reformed in prison either, but.
And then there are all those people that made deals.
That's the thing. It's like you can just look at it as like they're like John can't be like the only good person who escaped through an unfortunate chain of events like got sent to hell. Like I'm sure there are lots of good people, you know, well-meaning people that did some sort of sin and they're in hell for it, you know, but they're not necessarily like evil, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people who, you know, broke one of the Ten Commandments and then found themselves, you know.
Exactly.
Somebody coveted their neighbor's wife and now they're in hell, so.
Yeah, I stole $10 from my sister once.
Yeah, there you go.
You know where you're going.
I know.
Going to hell, going to hell, going to hell.
Wait, no, did you get absolved? Did you go to confession? You did not go to confession?
I did not. I still have time.
You still got time. I'll
get back to it.
You're still Catholic. You get back in there.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. There you go. How do you know you still have time?
I'm here right now.
All right.
Don't forget to call for the priest, Paul. Don't forget to call for the priest.
All right.
I don't really.
Yeah, we'll get your last rites and get you all set up.
There we go.
All right.
They make my dad happy.
I know. After they look over Yellow Eye's still smoking former vessel, Sam wonders over Jake's reaction to seeing him and asks if he was dead, if Dean bargained his soul, all of which Dean denies. Then Sam simply asks how long he got, and Dean answers, 1 year. Sam starts to question it, then he says that they'll do whatever it takes to get Dean out of it. And
yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to do to get Dean out of it. Obviously he doesn't die, because we've got 1,000 more seasons, so they did something.
Yeah, although he said obviously Sam couldn't die, and he did a little.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could just keep making a crossroad deals at the end of every single season.
It's like the coyote and Roadrunner. Coyote just keeps coming back.
They're going to do this 8 more times.
Die just a little bit,
you come back.
Dead-ish.
Mostly dead. Ellen, in the meanwhile, points out that while Yellow Eyes is dead, a whole army just got out. Bobby says the war has just begun, and we get a quote that I won't steal. And that's the end of season 2.
So interesting thing about the last shot and the last moment, you know, of course, it's a callback to is it the end of the first episode?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if it's the first or second, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the first. And in that instance, it's actually Sam who throws a gun into the trunk and says, we have work to do. But now they've reversed their positions, and now it's Dean who does it at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool.
Cool. Hey, so on this show, what we usually do now at this point is who won, Sam versus Dean. And I think Dean got that shot in there. Even though he's got a ticking clock over his soul, I think he still is possibly the winner on
this
one.
Yeah, he brought his brother back to life, and he killed the yellow-eyed demon. So I would say Dean won.
No doubt, Dean.
Aaron, what do you think?
I'll give it to Dean with a slight edge, just for the fact that, hey, look, I killed a demon.
There you go.
Right.
Well, I'm going to be ornery, and I'm going to say Sam, because he got brought back to life.
All right. That's a win, too.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't consider that a victory, but spoilers for later.
Oh, no!
Okay. So,
I can tell y'all now who won and who lost for the season, or we can wait.
Are we doing a wrap-up episode, or are we going right on to season 3?
I think we're going to move forward.
Okay, let's find out. Forward.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Dean won with 8 episodes. Sam had 5, and then they tied for 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
And some of those ties were both, and some of them were neithers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there.
The clear winner was Dean.
Dean.
Dean, da, Dean, Dean, Dean.
Whoa.
All right. We usually do our quote section now.
Oh.
I've got 3 written down.
Oh, okay. I'm going to steal one. You get to go first.
Aaron, do you have any quotes?
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't think I have any for All Hell Breaks Loose Part 2.
Do you like either of these two?
I'm sorry, I can't read upside down.
It's not upside down.
Okay, I should read that.
It's in the margins.
I was thinking of a quote from
a different season.
Yeah, I totally don't remember. I don't remember.
All right, wait, one more.
Oh, he's got all of them like written in the margins. They're in the margins. To be honest, I don't recall any of them so far.
Look, my favorite quote of any season ending is obviously the opening song. Come on, there's no doubt.
Okay.
I'll make certain they both live long enough to know the chewy taste of their own intestines.
I don't remember that part.
Yum, yum.
You don't want any of these.
I don't because I don't remember them, so they're not ringing a bell for me.
Yeah, Darcy, join me on the dark side where I refuse to do quotes anymore.
I'll just sing Black Betty instead.
That was for our mom, you son of a bitch. That was for our mom, you son of a bitch.
Whoa, Black Betty, right later.
All right. Here's mine.
Okay.
Here, take it. Oh, my. I'm shocked at this unforeseen turn of events. Go ahead, Jake. Squeeze that trigger. Be all you can be. This'll all be over. Your life can go back to normal. Of course, the army won't take you back because you're AWOL. But I'm sure you could get your old job at the factory back. But then, on the other hand, the rest of your life and your family's could be money and honey, health and wealth. Every day is ice cream sundae. And all you gotta do is this one little thing.
Yeah, it worked out for Jake.
No, it didn't.
He's not dead.
What?
Is he?
Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, yeah, he's totally dead.
Yeah, way dead.
He's thinking about somebody else.
Wait a minute, Jake is back?
I'm sorry, he looked pretty dead to me, and I'm sure that nobody's gonna go crossroads demon mom for him again, you know.
Yeah. You know what? Jake could come back as a demon, though, right? Is that a thing that could happen?
I don't know. I don't know if they explain that.
Well, he's awfully close to the hell mouth. Maybe he fell in.
And just climbed right back on out.
The devil's gate in this mythology.
The same thing. He fell back in.
Yeah, I like the idea of him just sort of like tumbling in and then just crawling right back out. Like,
I'm sorry, I'm a demon now.
So, hey, the door was wide open, so, you know.
Knock, knock. Can I come in?
All right. Well, for the feedback section, we've got a Heidi email for each part of the two-parter, both parts of the two-parter, and then a separate one from Allie. So, anybody want to read some of this, or should I just go for it?
If you post it, I'll read.
Yay!
All right.
Okay. This is Heidi's feedback for the last episode, part one. Hey, guys. This episode starts out with everyone just being confused, including the audience. Lily has pushing Daisy's power. Anyone we want to see come back to life so we can test this theory. I know I've seen guys playing Jake on something else. Looking at his IMDb, he was on one episode of Castle, but he was also on some episodes of Friday Night Lights, so maybe from there. Or I'm just racist and I'm really thinking of someone else. Not the Roadhouse, not Ash. Those yellow eyes are so creepy. How did Mary know him? There was a lot more to her dying than the boys. Was there more than that?
Than the boys ever knew. Yeah, no, I put it all in there. Than the boys ever knew. Oh no, Sam is dead. Oh, there's a part two? Let's get onto that then. Until next time, Heidi.
Yeah, you didn't catch it all.
But yeah, I guess not.
Weird.
That is weird. Okay, thanks, Heidi.
I'll read part two.
Okay. I'll attempt to get it all.
Yeah, please do.
Maybe there's a limit to how much you
there
can
might be it. There might be a limit because it just stopped for some reason, I think.
Yeah, that was weird. Yep, that looks
Until
good.
Until next time, Heidi, it says at the bottom. But it's not all there.
It's not all there.
Okay.
Okay, then do from...
Oh, it's not that bad.
And Dean has...
Yeah, it's not that bad. Here it goes.
There we go.
Oh, I think it's trying to send text messages to people. I think that's what's going on. So it's got a 160 character limit.
What? Okay, that's weird. But all right.
Odd. You got it there, John?
Yeah, hold on.
Enhance.
Magnify.
Enhance. Oh my gosh. I have I got like 5 mosquito bites since we've been sitting here and just saying.
Awesome.
Because you're so sweet.
It is.
It's not about the sweet. It's about the carbon dioxide. They
something
like
that.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure, let's go with that.
Heidi for part two. Hey, guys. Here we are on the season 2 finale. You only have at least 9 more seasons to go. You can do it.
Yay.
Poor Dean. Poor Bobby. So if Jake is the American Idol, does that make Yellow Eyes Simon Cowell? He definitely wins the sarcasm award.
Yes.
And now Dean has made a deal with the Crossroads Demon. I love Bobby's reaction. So a devil's gate is a hellmouth, right?
Pretty much.
Same thing.
Yeah, go Papa Winchester. He saves Dean from the demon, allowing him to take the shot. And it's a wonderful reunion slash goodbye for all of them. Papa Winchester clawed his way out, but so did a lot of others. And Dean has a year to live. Bring on season 3. Until next time, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Yay!
Thanks, Heidi. All right, and then we've got from Allie. Ah, I almost missed feedback. That gave it a little extra emotion. That was a lot of good emotion.
Good job, Paul.
I've been waiting for this one. You see, when Supernatural was first airing, I watched the first handful of episodes, as I've mentioned before. I kind of lost track of the show, and when I tuned in again, it was in the middle of the last episode, a two-part season finale. I was like, what the heck is going on? I remember it was even in the middle of the scene where Sam is talking to the yellow-eyed demon in his dream. So it was super serious and arc-heavy. I had to know what I missed, so I caught up on the rest of the first two seasons. Lots of sad things have happened. Andy died. I loved Andy. He was adorable. Ava turns into a bad guy. What? WTF, Ava? Not cool. The roadhouse burned down with everyone inside except the Harvells, thank goodness. That was kind of necessary. The roadhouse was becoming very convenient. Sam gets killed. Dean trades his soul for Sam's life. That's all in caps. At least Sam's not dead. I mean, of course he's not. He's a main character. So following that logic, they're going to find some way to get Dean out of his deal. Of course. Right?
Sure.
We have a whole Scooby gang vibe with Bobby and Ellen helping out. Although both of them have a Giles vibe going on, they happen to know all the things that someone needs to know. And John comes back in ghost form to help save the day. Ah, closure. My favorite thing about this episode is how they've used the mythology that's been built up over the last two seasons. The Colt isn't the only thing made by the famous gunsmith. The Crossroads deals are how they get out of their current predicament and into a new one for next season. And wow, an actual culmination of the Kids with Powers plotline. I think they set it all up in a really great way, and I like the ghost town, teehee, not literally, just demons, setting. I feel like Ava's turn was a bit of a stretch, but oh, maybe I was just disappointed to see such a likable character turn like that, and oh man, all the brother angst. I love this show a lot, but I don't always like it. I think the only thing that draws me to it is the brother angst. That's what draws most people to it. I hope we all at least find it intriguing, or this is going to be a long podcast project for you. Keep on keeping on. I love season 3 even more than season 2. Also, it's short. That was the year of the writer's strike, so there are only 16 episodes. Happy hunting, Allie.
Thanks, Allie.
Thank you so much, Allie.
And I've managed to set up, I believe, 7 commentaries. So that's gonna even things out.
All right.
So it'll feel like a whole season.
All right.
Good job.
Okay.
So much brother angst.
Yes.
So this is the part where we get to rate.
All right. How about our guest goes first?
Sure.
Maybe. All Hell Breaks Loose Part 2. I actually had to go back and binge watch this a while back in my college because I got on the Supernatural bandwagon in season 1, fell off season 2. Hooray for changing the time slots on me in middle school, high school. And when I finally binge watched it again, I was still on the Supernatural high. And season 2 is probably a really good season. I thought I guess this might be spoilers later, but it still made all sense to me. It wasn't 3 different directions, but so I definitely give it. I'm trying to figure out what I want to give for ratings this year. I give it 9 completely useless Sam Colt revolvers.
All right.
You got no more bullets. It's useless now.
Yeah.
Oh, you could hit someone with it.
I think there's more bullets out there. I really do.
Really? Yeah. I don't.
It'd be really convenient.
I like to think that more can be forged if they don't already exist.
I think some old lady tucked them inside her Singer sewing machine. And
I'd like to go a few seasons without it and then have it be like a... like a throwaway, like someone's trying to strangle someone, and Dean just reaches in and grabs it, just to be grabbing something to hit someone with, and when he finishes it, braining him, he's like, "Hey, this still came in handy." That'd be funny. Yeah.
Who's next?
Who is next? Do you want to be next?
I could be next.
Okay, be next.
Okay. It was good. It was, I don't know. There's a lot that's still not, it's not jiving for me sometimes. So, I know. I'm going to go with 7 misplaced Wyoming cemeteries.
All right, then. If you
Because there's insist. Probably only 7 cemeteries in the whole state of Wyoming.
I doubt it, but yeah.
Okay, there's
yeah,
probably yeah, 10. Probably. But,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll go next, since I'm right here next to you. I thought I did a great job of wrapping up 2 seasons of story and still leaving some tidbits open and a solid mission to go into season 3 with, so I'm going to give it a rating of 9.5 shot glasses of holy water with a whiskey chaser.
Damn.
There are at least 161 named cemeteries in Wyoming, so...
Oh, damn. I was off a little bit.
You got to do something with all that space.
That's right. Put their dead in there. How about historic cemeteries? Sorry.
Oh. I have a friend who exclusively does cemetery preservation, and she's in Alaska right now doing some work on that. So I bet if anybody would know historic cemeteries in Wyoming, she's the one.
Cool.
I was bored by this episode, as I have been by many. I hated that the dad came back. I just thought it was pointless. I don't see the point of Ellen, honestly, being there. I guess I'm warming up to Bobby. And
I do not love Bobby, but that's fandom.
Because she can't remember
the fandom coming out.
Like, I guess I'm warming up to what Bobby,
barely
I think his name is.
Yeah.
She remembers him. It's good.
Yeah, I'm hanging on. So I'm going to go with 6 out of 10 American Idols.
Well, it's the end of the season. Everything came to a head. So I really liked this episode. I thought it was really neat. I liked the idea of the Devil's Gate. I liked the way that the cult was used as a key and the way it opened. And it was very, like, you know, mechanical, like Clive Barker, Hellraiser kind of vibe. So sure. I thought that was cool.
The key, when you shoot people with it, it unlocks their death.
Exactly. And, like, yeah, it was, like, weird and you know, like, just very obvious in the way that they used Jeffrey Dean Morgan in this episode. But I still appreciated, like the emotional element that it brought, you know, seeing him pop up again and actually, like, helping out and everything. It seemed fitting. It seemed necessary. So I really like that. So I'm going to give this 10 out of 10 green-screened John Winchesters.
Nice. All right, so let me do our stats for this season. All right, so overall, this season from all of us got a 7.36. So, you know, we like to...
Is that higher or lower than season one?
That is lower. Season one got an 8.38.
Okay.
Wow.
And so let me really quickly go through everybody's stats.
Right.
So for me, my favorite episode this season with a 9.5 was In My Time of Dying. John, you gave 4 tens this season, In My Time of Dying, Croatan, Night Shifter, and All Hell Breaks Loose Part 2.
Interesting. Okay.
Paul, you're
highest. I would say out of those, my favorite is probably... I can't decide between Croatoan and Night Shifter, but it's going to be one of those.
Paul, your highest rated this season was actually this episode, All Hell Breaks Loose 2. It was a 9.5.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
After that, you had a 9 for No Exit.
Yep.
Darcy, your favorite only hit 8s, and you had several 8s. You gave 8s to Everybody Loves a Clown, Bloodlust, Dead Things, Crossroad Blues, Night Shifter, Tall Tales, and Heart.
So I don't like the same ones that you guys did. No. I think John and I must, like, be opposite.
Well,
I like it, he doesn't.
I had No Exit because I had such a big thrill that it was Holmes.
Yeah. It was a pretty good one. So,
And really quick, I'm figuring out who liked the episodes the most and who liked them the least. I think it's obvious John is going to win for the most loved. Yes, he liked them the most.
Yeah.
I liked them the least. Yeah. John rated the season as an 8.2. I gave it a 6.1.
Huh.
So, Paul, you came in at a 7.7. Darcy at a 7. Hmm. So.
Hey, I wanted to ask about that whole I don't know if there's a detailed backstory, but with Jeffrey Dean Morgan not being available for explicit filming, you know, direct filming for specifically this episode, did they just have him in studio and said, okay, well, we need some footage because we think we're going to use you for one last heartwarming?
I didn't look into it, but that's probably what they did.
Did he get paid scale? He didn't talk.
He didn't speak, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't speak, I don't know.
Well, it might have been part of a whole other day that he was speaking, though.
Okay, maybe.
Right.
Way back at the beginning of the season, we were like...
That would make sense.
You're going to be in the last episode. Don't know exactly what you're going to do or say, but we'll get some footage.
Stand there.
Right.
Look concerned.
Look happy. Look proud.
Smile.
Smile.
Roll a tear.
Do it.
Scratch your elbow.
It might be important. Just scratch your elbow. Go on.
Just do it. It's going to be a thing.
All right. Do we have anything else that we need to wrap up on our season?
I don't think so. I think we're ready to power forward.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Again. Oh, no problem.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
Do you have anything that you'd like to plug at this point?
Sure. I can plug since we're back on track with the Prisoner Intro Cast.
All right.
You can find us at In the Village, Prisoner Intro Cast. Just look it up on iTunes or probably Podbean if you can find it. But we are on iTunes, the Prisoner Intro Cast. We are almost done through the entire original run of the Prisoner series. I believe our plan after this is to go into the AMC and as well as the movie, but I'd have to double check our conversations, but I believe that is our ultimate plan once we're done with the original Patrick McGoohan run of The Prisoner.
All right.
McGoohan!
All right, very good. So, yes, thank you again for joining us. John, what is our homework for next week?
We are starting season 3, so it's going to be season 3, episode 1, The Magnificent Seven.
What?
All right.
But I think before we do that,
yes,
we should do our Nubentary for The Evil Dead.
So yes, the next thing we will do is a Nubentary. The next thing you can expect to hear in the feed is a Nubentary for The Evil Dead.
Yes.
All right.
I'm excited.
All right. So I guess that pretty much wraps up the season 2 for us.
Yeah.
And we can move on to Evil Dead in season 3. So, for everybody here, I just want to say happy hunting.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadruppleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from quadruplez.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at quadruplez.com. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, CYANFEY Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight podcast, an introcast for the television series Slings and Arrows at quadruplez.com.
I also do not reread books, and I typically do not rewatch movies. So maybe that's just how I am.
Yeah, I rewatch movies all the damn time.
I will for like certain things that are favorites. I will, but only like if I'm sewing and not paying attention to it.
But yeah, same. I can with like old movies, yeah. But like I'm not gonna like rewatch anything that I've seen recently.
Yeah, like I'll run Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something like that that I know by heart. That
did you see the thing I posted on Facebook the other day? That was like a week ago.
I think so. Yeah.
Because Ferris Bueller had turned like the movie had turned like 30 or something.
No, I'm not gonna think about that. But yeah.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people like. Posting like, you know, kind of ragging on the movie, like there was like a backlash and people were like, Ferris Bueller's a sociopath, Ferris Bueller's a crappy person, blah blah blah, and it was like, oh my god, you guys missed the point of the movie.
I know, he actually,
I mean, he
was
a crappy person.
No, well the thing is like, but he's smug, but he has a right to be, and like the whole point of the movie is not just him like screwing around like on a day off inconveniencing people. He's doing it for his friend because his friend is mentally fucked up.
He's trying to help Cam.
Yes.
I never liked that movie, so I guess I'm not
yeah.
Agree, but
like, if you rewatch it like in that context, like with the understanding of like what the movie's actually about, like it plays a whole lot better. Because like if you watch like before he even, you know, goes over to Cameron's, like that whole section in the beginning where he's talking to the camera, like he's talking about Cameron. He says like, I've missed 8 days already, so I better make this one count. And he's talking about like how crappy Cameron's life is, and like, you know, and like he needs this, and you know, so yeah, it's all about Cameron. Cameron's the main character of the movie.
I agree with
He's the one with the arc. Like Ferris Bueller's just the master of ceremonies. Like the movie's not actually about him.
Chris
Hardwick claims that possibly Ferris Bueller is just Tyler Durden to Cameron. It's funny. It's amusing.
No, there's a Channel Awesome show that plays with that same theory, or it at least explores it, you know.
I always thought that Ferris Bueller's Day Off would be a really great Commedia dell'arte play, because you know you've got all of the characters. You really do. You know, you have the Pantalone, and you have the Cuckold. You have them all there. It's really awesome. I always thought that would be funny. It would work.